Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Our studio audience, you know, they're very excited. Okay, calm down, calm down. Wow. All right. Yeah. I'm glad to see you, too. Okay. Well, today's show is going to be, I love this topic, and I can't wait to talk to our guests about it. So our guest is Linda Ruffnock, and she is the Executive Vice President of Customer Care at GlowTouch, a leading provider of contact center, business process, and technology outsourcing services. GlowTouch helps companies find the right channels, locations, people, process, and technologies so organizations can transform customer satisfaction into customer loyalty. I love that. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, yeah. So I, you know, this topic is, you know, I don't see a lot around this topic, but the clients that I talk to are certainly thinking in this direction. So I'm really glad that we're going to talk about this today. And I believe you have quite a few years of experience in the contact center space. And so do you see this as a trend that's new, or do you think this has been around for a while, but there's just been a stronger emphasis on it?
You know, I've worked for several different clients over, you know, the last 20 years that have tried to go from a service to sales model. And mm-hmm. one of the challenges I've seen historically is focus shifts from either I'm going to be all about customer satisfaction or I'm going to be all about sales, and mm-hmm. tend to, you know, deprioritize one or the other. One of the trends I think you're seeing a lot more of is you're putting those both of those metrics on an even playing field to where they're equally important, to where you're actually using for sales incentives, you're using CSAT as a gatekeeper to pay those incentives out, and you're looking at other metrics to tie into that so that you're driving the right behavior from an agent standpoint. And, you know, mm-hmm. when you've got a customer, a captive customer on the phone, and you're able to take care of their issue and leave them in a happy, pleasant state, it's a great time to be able to introduce them to other products and services that your company mm-hmm. may handle.
Right.
But so, and one of the things we found to be the secret to this is really it's about you've got to build rapport, you got to show empathy, and you got to throughout the conversation ask probing questions.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's funny. That is exactly what one of my clients is measuring on right now, the teaching them to be problem solvers. So in the simulation we designed for them, they want to know how many seconds from the time the agent stated the empathy word, you know, I'm sorry if you're having trouble with whatever, to how long did it take them to start asking a probing question. So they're, you know, they're following kind of that model very closely right now. They're, so we can measure that in the simulator because they're measuring that in production. They're trying to see, you know, how well people transfer that from doing it in the simulator to doing it live in production. So that's great because now how do you, I know how we're teaching them to do that. You know, how are you in your contact centers, how do you teach them to do those, you know, probing questions?
Well, the challenge we have is that a lot of our customer care is handled through chat. And mm-hmm. so we do a lot of chat technical support. So first of all, you got the technical support piece where you've got to work through and solving these technical issues, which can be mm-hmm. sometimes very simple, but can also be sometimes very complex. And historically, those are seen as very transactional. You know, most of our business is based in India. And so there's mm-hmm. this perception out there that it, you know, it's just really, you know, dot, dot, dot to get your issue resolved. What we've done is we've really over the last year invested heavily into a lot of training for the agents. We created introductory statements, transitional statements. Mm-hmm. We provided them a lot of probing questions or phrases for showing empathy, phrases for just showing appreciation. And just subtle changes in some of the words that they use and how they use it, and giving them sample probing questions and when to introduce them. look for particular cues that are applicable to some of the products and services that we're selling. And, you know, that was a key part of it. And we moved away from heavily scripted transcripts to here's a guideline, you know, put yourself, put your personality a little bit into it. And don't be afraid to, you know, try to relate with that customer.
If
it's hard to do that over chat than it is voice, because voice you can use inflection, you can pick up cues in the background that there's a barking dog or a screaming baby or you know, whatever it might be. But on chat, you don't get that. And a lot of times, you know, you got a chat where people are, like for our agents, they're handling two, maybe three chats at a time. And so you need to be very sincere when you're asking those rapport building questions. And how do you manage that when you're managing multiple chats and not get confused? So once again, the key to all of this is really about training, a lot of coaching, a lot of doing it right. There's probably a little bit of doing it wrong and learning from that.
Yes, people forget that. Sometimes we learn best when we make mistakes. So, so when you, is there some tie back to performance evaluations or how they're being critiqued? I mean, do you kind of calculate that into some kind of scorecard as well?
Absolutely. So we have a process where we go through the key KPIs, the key performance indicators, and we put different weightings on each item of what's important. And let's say that we've got sales, customer satisfaction, and first call resolution, that those are the three metrics that you want, that the client wants us to follow. And just even backing up a bit, we do step back and work with our clients to identify the right metrics in the right order for them to manage based upon what the business outcomes that they want to drive. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It really depends on what you're trying to do within your organization and what kind of customer experience you're trying to drive for them. So there are some that prioritize sales and they want sales to be the number one, but there's others that, you know what, sales are great. That's the icing on the cake, but more importantly, this customer satisfaction needs to be at this. But we go and we look at those key performance indicators, and based upon that, we will determine, you know, how they did or kind of stack rank or, you know, depending on that, or even put point systems associated with it that aligns your incentives. And we also, especially when we got sales and CSAT, we balance those two out like to where, you know, in order for you to get the sales incentive, you have to meet these gatekeepers for customer satisfaction.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And,
yeah, definitely.
And the one thing, and we actually have a real good case study that we have on our website where, you know, we had one, it was something as simple as changing a metric. You know, we had one of our clients who was growing very quickly, and we had some volume was coming in and headcount was coming in, and our sales targets were being set by marketing. And the sales targets were general targets, but they didn't seem to go up at the same rate that the volume was going up. So we'd have volume going up by 20%, but our sales targets and our sales deliveries maybe going up by 5 to 7%. So when you looked at the revenue per contact, it was actually going down versus increasing or even just maintaining. So something as simple as changing up the metric, and not just looking at a sales target that says, you know, you need to deliver $5,000 worth of sales this week. Instead, we said, no, you need to deliver $2.50 per contact, which can equate into $5,000 maybe $4,000, whatever. And so we implemented that. We started measuring it that way. We also added the CSAT. You know, our goal was to, once again, get sales in line with that 20% of increase in volume and to also make sure we maintain CSAT. This is at the same time that we rolled out all those things that I talked about, right? And, well, we were incredibly excited that at the end of the day, when we went back and measured results 3 months later, we had actually increased revenue by 56%.
Wow.
So our revenue per contact had gone up 56% from the previous run rate, which for the client we managed was worth almost $4 million. And we also increased their CSAT by 10% during that same period of time.
That's great.
So once again, it's all about picking the right metrics to drive the right behavior. And it balances out those things that are going to be important to your organization.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, by chunking it that way, you know, even you think about people that are training for some kind of event, like a marathon, you know, so they say, okay, you're going to run 26.2 miles. You're like, oh, my God, I'll never be able to do that. But by chunking it into, well, okay, for this time period, we're going to get you up to 5 miles and we're going to get up to 10 miles, you know, so that's a great way and a great way to approach that. Give me, you know, you probably have Sure.
If I can add to that, that chunking piece is also a great point, but looking at it from a different way, we actually, when we rolled this out, we built a chat flow for, you know, this is what it needs. Here's the introduction. Here's the welcoming statement. Here's the affirmation, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And when we came to coaching, we chunked it out exactly like you're saying. We first focused on that introduction and how do you make that introduction right? And we really coached on that one component. And then we led the agents through each place in the workflow. So they kind of mastered one before they had to go and master a second one and a third one. And we found that to be incredibly effective versus throwing like all kinds of stuff at them and just say, hey, absorb this. Instead, we did focus coaching on each place in the workflow.
That is an awesome way to do that. And you think about, I don't know if you play video games, but the video game market are geniuses, and they're really instructional designers because they design it so that you master each level, and then the things you learn in previous levels somehow show up in the next levels, not all at once, but in small bits and pieces. So you can transfer that knowledge and that learning and that skill to the next level. So that was brilliant that you guys did that because that's a very, very effective way to help teach people new skills. So so this is about, transforming the support channel to a revenue channel. Do you have an example of how maybe it was a pure support channel and you introduced them into the sales cycle?
So we have one client that's been a client of ours for almost 15 years. And, you know, it's a client that has grown and expanded with us over that time. And we started out with general care. We moved into tier one, tier two, tier three support. We ended up taking on billing and fraud management and actually doing some back office work. We then ended up supplementing that with network monitoring and IT staff to be an extension of their own development team. With that client, it was a few years back to where we were doing some things. We were doing plan extensions that were just a natural order-taking component of the chat sessions themselves. But they started to acquire more companies. They started to acquire different types of products and services. They started to link up with partnerships, strategic partnerships and strategic services. From a cross-sell upsell opportunity. And so over time, we started to layer in some of these products and services, initially starting with a couple of very specific products and also looking at ways to, how do we overlay, once again, their company goals with what we were actually selling. So, for instance, at a point in time, plan extensions were really important to them because they needed the cash flow. So let's go figure out how do we manage that piece of it. As it progressed on, it became less about cash flow as it did about lifetime value. And so instead of focusing on plan extensions, it really got into how do you create stickiness with this particular customer? What are the products and services that are going to better support their business versus just the single product that they might see you with? And with that, you know, it over time it went from we were doing, $0 per, or less than a dollar per contact to, within about 2 years, we were actually paying for ourselves and paying for basically we were delivering as much revenue as we were billing, And then within a couple years after that, we actually were generating $2 for every dollar that we were billing our client. And that's something
wow.
that we really began to focus on in the last couple of years is mm-hmm. how do we repeat that for other customers? Because in tech support, you're not always naturally, you know, tech support is seen as tech support. And
yeah.
A lot of our clients do not see that as a revenue-generating opportunity. But our focus is, okay, let's start with doing the tech support. Let's get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that managed.
Right.
But then let's go on the sales piece. We just brought on one client just a couple months ago, and they came to us specifically because they wanted to see their tech support generate sales. It was one of those companies, like I mentioned, that had lots of different products and services that were geared towards the same customer profile.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we did a pilot for them to benchmark how we could do against sales versus their existing internal call center. And within 2 weeks, and this is an exaggeration, we had already doubled the results that were being handled internally. And,
wow.
And that's just within 2 weeks. And we really haven't even tapped into the full portfolio of products that we can cross-sell and upsell. So in many cases, there's low-hanging fruit in
mm-hmm.
companies that they don't even realize. They don't even see that it's there.
Sure.
And so part of our mission is to share that with, you know, companies out there and saying, you know what? Let's take a look at it. Let's see what we can find. Let's find
yeah.
a way that you can turn your cost center into a profit center.
Sure. It's like the, I call it the Amazon way. You know, when you're on your Amazon, you're ordering something, and like, oh, and by the way, you know, you could, other people bought this when they were buying this item, you know. So it's just kind of a natural kind of sales progression. So if, as long as you've got them on the phone, why not, you know, see if you can cross sell them. So that's brilliant. You know, you should have had like a smackdown between the existing sales team.
Well, what smackdown is hopefully more volume, more work. But, you know, the key there is, you know, the one thing is I always laugh and say, I'm not a salesperson. I'm a really good customer
mm-hmm.
care person.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is sales is nothing more than customer care.
Yeah,
and when you
exactly.
kind of look at it that way, you kind of flip the lens on it and you're looking at it, especially from an agent, you know, when you say, oh, I'm going to have you do sales. Sometimes there's like deer in headlights. Oh, please don't make me do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, that you're doing it as a service to this customer, you are there to advocate for them and to get them in the best place possible for them to grow their business and or serve them in whatever way if you're talking to a consumer. And when you it's presenting that sales opportunity and really selling them and understanding the features and benefits, letting them understand who are you talking to on the other end of the line, making sure you under the persona of who it is. So one of our clients, it's almost all small business owners that we're doing support for. So when you look at it and in the training, it's starting with what does that small business owner look like? What's going to be important to them? What does this
right.
product do for them? That why are they buying this product and why is it important? And then if they're buying this product, these two other things are probably equally important to them, especially when they're hitting certain stages or they've seen certain challenges or, once again, trying to link them back to buying clues. And that piece is incredibly important in order for you to get that, once again, that service to sales model implemented.
How do you wrestle with the challenge around some call centers are, you know, so focused on handle time? And if you're trying to build rapport and get to know the customer and get to understand their needs, but the clock is ticking, how do you create that balance between, you know, not just chatting about the weather with somebody because, you know, you
right.
want to build rapport
right.
versus handling their problem?
That is a great question. And it's not always easy
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it takes a little bit to build that. But we found, you know, if you're going to write out, hi, my name is so-and-so, how can I help you today?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a little bit, it could be, hi, my name is this. I would be more than happy to help you with the problem you have. And I see that X, Y, Z, you know, that you're kind of putting a little bit of empathy into what they reached out to you for,
mm.
or you're recognizing the problem up front. It takes a little bit more, but it didn't take that much more to
right.
go and business. I'm so sorry that you had to reach out to us, or hopefully I can help you on this call with the challenge that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And just even simple words like that. And, you know, it's my pleasure to help you with that. You know, says, you know, one of the things I laugh at in the guys in the quality calibration sessions, I tried to eliminate the word sure from any of the chats. And it's like, use one word, sure. And it's like, well, sure what? Sure, I can help you with it. Sure, the it's sunny outside today. Sure. Yeah, sure, really. And so just even simple little words that are going to help you with that. But kind of going back to your original question, it takes a lot. It takes a little bit of work, and it goes back to that balance piece and coaching, and the training is essential. The training is absolutely important so that the agents on the other line know how to do it effectively and efficiently, that we've provided the tools for them to do it effectively and efficiently. You know, one of the things that we've got for some of our clients is an offer engine where you, instead of them having to go think about it, you're already popping up the information about the product or plan based upon what you already know about the customer. Here's the two products that might be of interest to him. And oh, by the way, here's some of the scripts here that you might use to insert or modify in order for you to, you know, highlight the features and benefits, or, you know, very simple, quick teaser statements you might want to put in there. So you can, once again, it's not about having to type out a whole paragraph. It's like, well, let's see what we can do and cut and paste. But the key, even with that, is making sure you still personalize it.
Yes, I've seen, you know, call centers that have, like, these job aids and things like that for folks that can just kind of copy and paste, like you say, personalize it. How do you, because you handle so many clients, how do you, does the clients provide that to you? Do you guys build that stuff? How does that work?
Yes. so we have clients. And one of the things is we are not a one-size-fits-all organization.
Mm-hmm.
We take a lot of pride in the fact that we create customized solutions for our clients. And so it is different for every client. So, you know, there's one client that manages their whole entire knowledge base. They feed us information. We feed them back insight and data to support what we might need in a knowledge base or where we need help. We may take their marketing materials and convert them into something that is more relatable to the agent. Other clients, they, you know, we've got some that have never outsourced before. You know, they might be starting, we don't mind starting with a small program, especially if we see line of sight to growth on it. So we've got clients that maybe only have 10 FTE. And I know a lot of people think, well, I can't put just 10 FTE in India. Well, yeah, you can.
And we
can look at that. And so you got a smaller program, you know, with 10 FTE, you may not have the most robust knowledge base, but we can build it. We can start to work with creating those knowledge base articles, trying to create self-service options for online for Q&A and guide you through that process, help you understand when and how to use chat on your website and where you want to place it depending on where your goals are. And with that, then it's also working to develop those tools and develop the training and the other components you might need. And what we do is we kind of say, you know what, you're the expert on your business, right? You know your business better than anybody else. We're experts in customer care and customer support. So let us guide you through that side of it, and you feed us the information. We'll figure out how to put the pieces together for you. And that's with regard to systems, you know, knowledge base, you know, CRM applications, you know, reporting platforms, workforce management things, all of that stuff.
Are you seeing are clients pushing you to have more automated kind of bot front-end technology before it gets transferred to a person on live chat?
You know, it's obviously coming up in a lot more conversations, and it's something that we're working hard on and managing through with different clients right now. And it really does vary by client and what kind of level of service that you're trying to provide. And for most of our clients, there are applications for the chatbot, but you've got to make that chatbot very sincere, and you also got to make it clear that it is a chatbot.
Right.
At least my personal philosophy, let me put it that way. My personal philosophy is you need to make it clear that it's a chatbot, not pretend to be, you know, Bob from, you know, Iowa that's talking to you, right? And then making it clear that, like, hey, let me ask you some preliminary questions so we can make your see if I can answer it for you, or we gather some information that will allow to make it easier for our agents to serve you faster and better. And so you are seeing some of that happening. And with our clients, we always try to encourage them, let's step back and let's make sure we're being mindful of the customer experience. And once again, go back to that customer on the other line. There's some of them, like if you've got a developer on the other end, an FAQ troubleshooting application, especially for recurring problems, can make a lot of sense. And that's the easiest way for them to handle it, right? But if you've got a uninformed small business owner who's trying to struggle their way through this and they just need a helping hand, well, do you strengthen your brand by adding a personal touch to it and, you know, kind of turning that customer experience into more of building customer loyalty?
Yeah, because you could – that's a good point, because sometimes somebody might get very frustrated with a bot, and it the money you're saving from having a body there, you're going to lose in revenue because, you know, customers might get frustrated and go somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing with all of this, whether, you know, you're talking about the support, the sales, all that kind of stuff. You got to step back and really look at that customer experience, and not just the customer experience, a general customer experience. You got to look at it from the persona of the individuals on the other line. You've got to really look at and say, who is it that I'm servicing here and what's important to them, and how do we make sure we meet their expectations when and where they need it?
So in my final question here, you know, can you tell us, you know, how could our listeners reach out to GlowTouch, or what would somebody contact GlowTouch for?
Yes, you can reach us at glowtouch.com, or you can contact our sales executive, which is Scott Moberly, and he can be reached at scott.moberly, M-O-B-E-R-L-Y, at glowtouch.com, and he'd be more than happy to talk with your listeners about any opportunities they may have, or just even general questions. They can also feel free to reach out to me. I can be reached at a very simple Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at glowtouch.com.
Well, great. Well, I really appreciate being on today and having this discussion. Our audience is thrilled with it. I appreciate your time, and you know, we'll certainly reach out to you guys again in the future.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to have us on your show.